All right, 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17. We've been having trouble with the mic, and they thought the mic wasn't working, but I didn't have it turned on, so it doesn't work when it's not turned on. But we're turned on now. We're ready to roll. 1 Samuel 17. I want you to think on this thought today. The battle is not yours. The battle is not yours. Let's look, if you will, in 1 Samuel 17 and read the first couple of verses, beginning in verse 45. The first few verses of this section of Scripture. You're familiar with this story, but don't let familiarity breed contempt. We want to look at this battle between David and Goliath with just a new thought that the Lord has given us. 1 Samuel 17, verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." You may be seated, and may God add the blessings to the reading of his word. When I was probably a sophomore in high school, I become with a friends with a guy who was a junior at the time, and his name was David also, but everyone called him Dave. And Dave was a little different. He was a tall, lanky kid. He was muscular, but he was very thin and very trim. And well, Dave was just different. Let me say it like that. He didn't really fit in with any particular crowd at all because he was different. But he and I become friends somewhere along the way. I think it's just because I knew Dave and I accepted him for who he was and how he was, just like he accepted me. I thought all around he was a great guy. But Dave was always, always getting into trouble. And Dave was also one to, somehow he always drew himself into a fight or into a shoving contest, if you will. I remember one day we were standing out waiting to catch the bus, and all the students were lined up, and I had this guy that was a senior who, and I don't even remember to this day what it was, but he didn't like me and he was out to get me. Now, it kind of bothered me a little bit because he was a lot older than me, and I was like most many of you men in high school. I had like 3 hairs on my chin. I weighed about 155, looked like I needed to be wormed, and you know that high school picture, what it looks like. It kind of bothered me, and I went down, and I was waiting at my end of where my bus would pull up, and Dave come bouncing down through there. Dave was about 6'2", and had long arms, and really he was built like a fighter. And he come bouncing down through wanting to know what was going on. And I simply told him, I said, "Dave, you know, that guy up there, he says he's wanting to fight." And Dave said, "He wants to fight you?" And I said, "That's what he told me. He says he's going to fight." And that, without saying another word, Dave said, "I'll take care of it." And Dave goes up there. I don't know the exchange that took place, but just in about 30 seconds, I saw the kid fall from the crowd and go backwards across the grass. And David took care of my business for me. In fact, Dave fought a lot, but the interesting thing about Dave is this. Dave actually never got in a fight because of him, himself or defending himself or so forth. Dave always got in fights to protect other people or to defend what he thought was defending other people. And the battles never were Dave's. They were always somebody else's battles. But Dave fought someone else's battles for them. And this morning I'm thinking about the things that we can't choose in life. Just like David in this battle with the Philistine giant. David didn't choose this battle, if you remember the story. If you remember the story, he's keeping his father Jesse's sheep. He is a shepherd. His 3 older brothers, they went off to battle with Saul and the armies of Israel. And David was left there at the back on the home front while his brothers fought in battle. There David was left feeding sheep and running errands for his daddy Jesse. And remember, his daddy Jesse says, "Hey, David, come here one day. I want you to do something. I want you to put your sheep in the care of a sheep keeper. And I want you to take to your brother this parched corn. I want you to go give this to them. I want you to take them this bread. So take these loaves of bread. And to the captains of the army, I want you to take these 10 cheeses." And so here, little young David in his youth, he goes to where the battle is. He shows up carrying 10 cheeses, a bag of parched corn, and a bunch of bread. And so when he shows up, there's this giant there, you know the story, who's challenging the armies of Israel. And David shows up and he didn't ask for this battle, but this battle come to him. Sometimes we face battles not because we chose the battle, but because the battle chose us. And I want you to know today, the battle is not yours, but it is the Lord's. Amen? And so there's many things in life we can't choose. Like we can't choose our body types. Like you had nothing to do with your body type and genetics that determines that body type. You can't choose if you wanted a big nose or a little nose. You can't choose if you gain weight around your belly or gain weight around your neck. You can't choose if you're skinny. You can't choose who your mother and father is. You can't choose where you were born at. There's a lot of things in life you can't choose. You can't choose whether or not your dad was, well, let's just cut straight to the chase. He was a sorry dad. Everything except what he was supposed to be as a father. You couldn't choose that. You couldn't choose that you had a mother that abandoned you and left you with your grandparents. You couldn't choose that. I mean, come on, if we could choose all of these things in life, like along these sorts, well, we know what kind of body type we would choose and what type of genetics we would choose. And we know what kind of family we would be born into. You can't choose. You can't choose to be born into poverty or born into wealth. There's some things in life we just cannot choose for ourselves. And sometimes battles come to us not because we chose the battle, but because the battle came to us. I remember one time in my second pastorate, we had a guy in the church. I've told you briefly about him, but when he was backslid and away from the Lord, he played the drums in many different country music bands and in many nightclub type settings back in the days of nightclubs. And he played drums in all of those, and he played for Alabama down in Myrtle Beach and things like that. But he got rededicated his life, and he got back in church. And keep in mind, we're a traditional Baptist church at the time. And something was going on during Bible school that year where the Bible school director wanted drums to be played during music portion of Bible school. And so he brought his drums in. He set them up. And Bible school went wonderful, and it was great. And he played just led by the Spirit and so forth. Long story short, he comes to me and he says, "Look, when I was out of God's will, I wanted to play," or he said, "I played in nightclubs and all over the place, playing bars and things like that." And he said, "But you know, now that I'm living for the Lord," he said, I want to play my drums for the Lord." And we didn't have a lot of room around the stage and piano area because there was an exit that went out the side where that was at. And so I said, "Hey, you know, try to set your drums up the best you can right over there. And we'll just roll with it. You can play with the choir and singers and all that stuff." And so we did. And boy, I just want you to understand that there's some people in our traditional Baptist churches who, well, let's just say that drums in church are a high crime and an unforgivable sin. Amen. You know what I'm talking about? Well, it certainly was. And the thing about it is, His percussion instruments are found all throughout God's word, Brent. All throughout the Psalms, there's percussion instruments that are found there. And even greater than that, did you know the piano, when it first come out and was played, you know where it was played at mostly? In bar rooms. That's where a piano was played at. But every Baptist church has a piano sitting in it. But I was willing to take this on because I believed in the conviction of this man's heart that he wanted to serve the Lord with the talents God had given him. And so I chose that battle because I knew God was in that. But the truth of the matter is there's some battles that you do not choose that come to you and come to your heart. And that's what happened with little David right here. He didn't choose this battle with the giant. He just showed up that day carrying cheese, corn, and bread. Just doing what he was told to do. That's all he was doing. He did not choose that battle. The battle come to him. And some of you right now, you've got battles going on inside of you that are slap tearing you apart. And you've got to come to an understanding and a recognition in your own life as a child of God that if you don't address and you don't deal with some of these battles, they will absolutely kill you if you don't deal with it in the right kind of way. And our response to battles usually is this, is self-help or self-improvement. Well, I gotta fix this, or I gotta do that, or this is what I need to do, or that's what I need to do. But you gotta know that David, as he stepped into where this battle was taking place, he didn't choose the battle. The battle chose him, but he had the right stuff. Let's talk about that just for a minute. Now watch this. So keep in mind, for 40 days, two times a day, morning and evening. Now watch this. All of the armies are gathered together. Israel on one side, Philistines on the other. All of Israel's army, of all of those men of war, for 40 days, morning and evening, Goliath stepped out into the valley and he challenged Israel. And he said, if one man will come down and fight me, then if I win, then we win this battle. But if that man from Israel wins, then Israel wins this battle and we'll settle the battle just like this. And for 40 days, twice a day, Goliath came down and challenged Israel. So for 40 days, morning and evening, Israel's men remained neutral. And let's be quite honest about it. They were cowards. They were ready to face another army, but they weren't ready to face a giant. You with me? Say amen. So nobody moved for 40 days. Well, the story goes on. So David shows up and he wants to know what's taking place. That's all he says. What's going on here? What's the deal here? Tell me what's happening. And his older brother pulls him to the side and says, listen, I know what you're doing. I know your attitude. You have simply come here to put your nose in our business. You need to be back keeping sheep. You need to be back doing what our father Jesse has told you to do, but all you're doing is minding our business. You are a kid. You have no business here at this battle. And so he's run down by his brothers. They challenge God's calling on his life. And that's one of the things you need to understand as we talk about this. You need to understand and you need to realize that when a battle is in front of you, when you're facing a giant, it's a matter of your calling and it's a matter of your destiny. So mark this in your mental notes or mark it down on paper. The battle that I face is not about you here and now, but the battle you face is about God's calling in your life. It's about your destiny in Christ Jesus. And so you've got this battle, this raging deep down inside of you. I wish I could just preach two or three messages just from this text, because you need to go home and study all of chapter 17, because there's so many minute details that we can't even hit on. But it's a power-packed passage full of great spiritual truths. But for little David, who was but just a youth, this was a matter of his calling, not just his circumstance of being a shepherd for his father Jesse and carrying cheese and bread and corn to his brothers and the soldiers in the army. It was a matter of his destiny, where God wanted him to be. So let me ask you this, and that way in just a minute when we give an invitation, we don't have to cut to chase of any sort. So is there this battle that's raging deep inside of you? Is there this battle that you have suddenly faced this week? Is there this battle that you are struggling with day in and day out? Because here's the deal. If you don't resolve this thing today, it can affect your calling and your destiny. And it can affect everyone that's around you. Are you getting this? So this is a serious, serious thing. And the Bible, listen, the Bible is full of, in the Old Testament, we see the stories written out about battles. But in the New Testament is very clear about our battles in this Christian walk. Paul writes what I believe is a whole book. I think the whole book of Ephesians. Some people say that Ephesians chapter, the last parts of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5 and 6, some people say that's the battle passage of the Bible. But I think really the whole entire book of Ephesians is a battle handbook for the believer in Jesus Christ. And so in the Old Testament, we see all these stories of battles. In the New Testament, we see battle terminology laid out and applied to the Christian experience. And so listen, these stories are written not so we can have pretty little kids' stories in our Sunday school classes or in Bible school, but we read here today about little David facing a giant in his life, facing a battle he never asked for, because God wants us to see it, to parallel it to our lives, and to see the remedy that there is in Jesus Christ. And so along life's way, you're going to face some battles, particularly if the enemy looks at you, and when he hears your name, it causes hell to tremble. So maybe the first question I ought to ask, and this is another message, but does hell tremble when they hear your name as a believer? Or does hell hear your name and hell takes no thought of you because you're no threat to the enemy at all? But nevertheless, somebody here this morning, somebody here listening online today, you were in that battle. Because I want to tell you something. I get some texts and phone calls every week from people who are in a battle. And realize this, it's a battle over your destiny. It's a battle over your calling. And so that's where you need to go back and rewind and rewind and rewind. Where I've stood in this pulpit and over on Sundays and Wednesdays, I've told you that, hey, God's got a plan for you. God's got a purpose for you. God's got a calling for you. There's a destiny for you. But we would be led astray and we would be misled if you think you can just get up and brush your teeth and comb your hair and look like a church somebody on Sunday morning and just strut right into your destiny like you walk right in to Burger King. It'll never happen like that. If God's got a call on you, if there's a high calling on your life, then you need to know that there's a strong downward pull and a battle that rages that you cannot win on your own. That's why we got to learn from David here. I want you to notice about David. He's very clear all throughout chapter 17. And there's no doubt about it. David has no pride in and of himself in this setting. He's killed a lion and a bear with his bare hands for taking his father's sheep. Now, I just want you to understand something. If you kill a lion and a bear with your bare hands, I'll gladly step aside and give you the 10-gallon hat, and I'll let you brag, and we'll take it. We'll give you a microphone on this stage. You have bragging rights. And he had killed a lion and a bear with his bare hands, but he wasn't bragging about it. But what he did brag about was he bragged about the Lord who delivered him out of the mouth of a lion and in the paws of a bear. And so all throughout this text, he said, it's the Lord's, it's the Lord's. And who is this Philistine that defies the God of Israel and the armies of the God of Israel? And he takes everything in this battle and he throws it back on the Lord so that the attention would not be on him, a little ruddy, red-faced youth, but the attention would be on the God of David instead of David himself. So it's a matter of calling. Some of you need to realize this battle inside of me. And please hear what I'm saying, what I'm telling you right now. David makes it clear in this passage of Scripture. David makes it very clear. He does not say to Saul or his older brother who does not support him. He does not say to the giant. He does not say, well, you know what? Tomorrow we're going to take care of this. You know, next week, let me kind of get things together. Let me work out and let me start running, get some cardio, and I'll deal with this another day. Now, we'll come back 2 weeks and I'll show up and I'll do what God sent me to do. He does not say, let's just wait a few hours. But for David, David says over and over, this day, this day, this day, we're going to settle this thing right here and right now. Are you with me? Say amen. And so Saul says, Saul discourages him. Saul says, who are you? Who are you? You're just a little kid. And Goliath has been a man of war since the time he was a kid. Like, this guy is a professional fighter and killer. Now imagine, if you will, for 40 days, not one man in an entire army of Israel steps out and says, I'll fight you, Goliath. But David shows up and he sees what is at stake here is the glory of the God of Israel, and he's ready to fight because the glory of the God of Israel has been defiled by that Philistine. It's all about David's calling. He knew God had a calling on him. It's all about God's purpose in him. And before he could step through that door, he had to deal with this battle that had come to him. The battle is not yours, but it's the Lord's. And so what does David do? We know the story. Saul took his armor, puts it on David, gives David his spear and all this stuff, gives David his helmet. David's just a shepherd boy. He's never had to shepherd sheep wearing a helmet and carrying a spear and wearing body armor. And so David gets it on and he maybe walks around, shakes it out, and he's like, this don't feel right. This is not who I am. I've never proven this. And so he sheds it all off. But what he knew he had proven is this. He had proven that if any battle is going to be won, it's going to be in the name of the Lord. And so David takes off and he goes to battle. He's got his little kit bag, if you will, or a little survival bag, if you will, or our get home bag, or our doomsday bag, or our zombie bag, whatever you want to call it today. So he had his little kit bag, and inside that little kit bag, well, he picked up 5 little stones and dropped in that thing. He's got his sling on his hand, and he's ready to use it. And then the Bible says this, that David ran to that giant, that he ran to that giant. And so, see, here's what David did not do. David didn't go and interview the best soldiers in Israel army and say, okay, now give me some tactics here. I need to know what to do, what not to do. And he did not run to them and say, listen, I need to know how to move when he does this or he does that. This guy's a giant. How can I take him out and get him on the ground? What's the best thing to do? He didn't do all of that. What he did was he did what he knew was proven to do. The things that he had proven in his own life. And what he realized was this. He realized that what he had was enough. See, it wasn't so much that he had confidence in the sling that he had on his hand ready to use. It wasn't that he had confidence in a stone that he carried in his little scrip bag. It wasn't that he was placing his trust in those things, but what he realized was this, that whatever it was that he had in his hand, whatever it was that he carried in his bag, he knew it was enough because ultimately he knew the battle was not his, but it was the Lord's. So it really wouldn't have mattered had David had a handful of dust in his bag, or if David had had a slingshot in his hand, or a BB pistol in his hand, if you will. It really didn't matter what he had. What was important was that he understood that what he did have was enough. And what I need you to understand is this, for the battle you face, is that what God's given you is enough. And what he's given you is this. He's given you his word. And he's also given you his promise, which says this, the battle is not yours, but it is the Lord's. Now listen, if the battle's mine, I may win or I may not win. It's really a coin toss, isn't it? If the battle is yours, you may come out on the good side of things, or you may come out on the not so good side of things. But if the battle is the Lord's, please pick up that book that you hold in your hand and turn to the scripture in it that gives me a story or a passage where our Lord was ever defeated. It's not in that book. Michelle said, you can't do that. And that's exactly right. You can't show me that in your Bible. In fact, I see the greatest battle that ever unfolded in that book right there. It began in the Garden of Gethsemane, and our Lord fought that battle. And then he made his way to the cross, and he fought that battle. And he died for you and I. He fought that battle. And for many story writers or for many people reading, if you stop there, then it looks like that was the end. But you and I know the rest of the story, that Calvary was not the end, that that borrowed tomb was not the end, that that body that was treated and wrapped in grave cloths, that was not the end. But you and I know that early one Sunday morning, our Lord arose and he rose in victory. The greatest story, the greatest battle that's ever been fought. So in that book you hold in your hand, you'll not find one place where our Lord suffered defeat. And I want you to know the story we read about. Today there was no defeat. And so here little David goes, and he's not much of anything. He's just a little kid, a little youth, a teenage boy, if you will. He's a shepherd boy. And so he realized two things that you and I need to realize. Is that number one is a matter of calling. There's something greater in mind here than just the here and the now. And also he realized that what he had was enough. What he had was the Lord. Was the Lord, and the Lord's enough. And so we find in this text, and Abigail, you can come to the piano. We find in this text this statement that David makes. He says, "The battle is not mine, but it's the Lord's." Goliath challenged him, mocked him, said, "What are you doing? I'm a warrior. You're just but a little dog. I'm going to chew you up. I'm going to spit you out. How dare you come and face me?" And David makes that statement where he says, "The battle is not mine, but it is the Lord's." Several times over in Scripture, you're going to find that very statement made. And every time that statement is made, God brings victory to his children. Every single time. That the battle is not mine, but it is the Lord's. And in fact, if you go look at the tense of this text, And you'll look at the tense of that phrase. You're going to find that this is something that David repeated over and over and over. He repeated it to the armies of Israel. He repeated it to Saul in Saul's presence. He repeated it to his older brother who tried to discourage him and run him down. And he repeated it to the giant that he faced. And what he said was this: the battle is not mine, but it's the Lord's. The battle is not mine, but it's the Lord's. The battle is not mine, but it's the Lord's. Or let's just turn that into a prayer. The battle is not mine, but it's yours, Lord. The battle is not mine, but it's yours, Lord. The battle is not mine, but it's yours, Lord. Over and over and over, David said that. And then who would have thought fighting a giant 8 feet tall, some 350 pounds, that David would pull one little stone out of his script bag, put it in that sling as he run to meet that giant, slung that sling and sent that thing downrange and hit that giant right in the forehead and put him on his back. And there's much depth in what happens next, but David then draws Goliath's own sword and cuts his head off, just like he said he would. God in your hands has given you today a key to victory in your life. So you got some battles that rage within you. And can I say this without sounding like it's psychobabble? But some of the battles you're facing today are only the symptoms of the bigger battle that rages down inside of you. You're fighting the symptoms of a sickness. You're fighting the symptoms of this war that's raged in you for years and years and years and years. The battle is not yours, but it's the Lord's. Quit treating the symptoms and deal with the source. And just know this, and for especially, particularly for those of you who are parents, listen to me. I've always said this about parents. Listen to me. This battle is not so much about you and who you are as an individual. In fact, for some of you, it may have nothing to do with you and who you are as an individual. But the battle you're facing may be entirely tied to your children. And it could be that if the enemy wins this one battle in your life that you're struggling with and battling with and fighting with, if the enemy wins this one battle in your life, then he'll have doorway to your children. It could be that. See, when we're in sorrows and we're in troubles and we're in heartaches and we're going through pain and we're going through brokenness, it's perfectly human and natural. It's a human and natural reaction for us to always look at ourselves. Poor me, pitiful me. Look at what I'm bearing. Look at what I'm going through. Look at what I'm dealing with. That's a perfectly natural humanistic reaction to trouble, trials, grief, and struggles in our own life. So I don't judge you for that. But we've got to be careful, and we've got to live life looking at the big picture of eternity. And we've got to see that sometimes there's a greater battle taking place. See, the battle that's been going on in America for a long time, a good 30 years, the battle that's been taking place in our nation, it's not been about Republicans or Democrats or independents. It's not been about North or South. But what it's been about is, it's been about the devil trying to claim a generation in our nation. He's yet to have an entire generation to himself. Because thank God, there's still some Bible-believing homes in this great land that are raising their children under the rule and the authority of that black book you hold in your hands. There's still some Bible-believing churches in this nation There's still some pastors who will stand and who will fight the beliefs and ideologies that's coming out of Washington, D.C., that's trying to be imposed upon us and our families and our children and our churches and our societies. So the battle in America has been about a generation that may be alive today, and maybe it's tomorrow's generation. It may be the generation of that baby you carry in your womb. So it's bigger than us. So the battle you face today, if you'll look outside your little box for 1 minute, and you need to understand that it's bigger than you. It's not just about your calling. Would to God that somebody here was moved deep inside of yourself about the calling God's give you. But it's not just about your calling, but it's about your children's calling that sit beside you in a pew. So what do I do, preacher? Well, realize that what you have is enough. What you have is enough. And that's the Lord. And He's the majority. And so you take that and you take this prayer. Lord, you know the battle. You don't have to tell it to Him today. He knows it. He knows what's tearing you apart. So your prayer is this: Lord, here I am. The battle is not mine, but it's yours. The battle is not mine, but it's yours. The battle is not mine, but it's yours. And maybe it's not you, but maybe it is your children that's in the battle. Maybe it's your neighbor. Maybe it's your friend. Maybe it's your mama or your daddy. That's your prayer over them. That's your prayer for you today. Is the battle's not mine, but it's yours. The battle's not mine, but it's yours. Because here's what happens. When you let the Lord have it and you get your hands off of it, if you're just weary and tired enough to get your hands off of it and put it in the hands of God, then God can finally do in it what He wants done in it. He can finally bring you the victory. But if we can do the fighting, if we can do the changing, if we can get out of this, if we can make it right, then God does not need, we do not need His help with that attitude. But when we say, Lord, the battle's not mine, but it's yours. It's not mine, but it's yours. Then that's a declaration of dependence on Him. And Lord, I can't do this. We can't do this, but Lord, it's yours. It's yours. And watch the God of ages bring victory. Bring victory into your life. Are you battling this morning? Then you bring it to Jesus. It's not mine, but it's yours. It's not mine, but it's yours. It's not mine, but it's yours. And watch what He does in your life. Abigail, sing. Stand and make your way to this altar this morning. Come.